You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. Now, under the COVID-19 pandemic, global trade suffered a hit as supply chains were severely disrupted due to the travel restrictions and export bans imposed by countries to contain the spread of the virus. For example, South Korean car manufacturer Hyundai said in February that it has to stop production lines in South Korea because parts cannot arrive from China. Apple also mourned that month of an iPhone supply shortage because its Chinese factories were shut down. But most importantly, global food trade could also be affected. Kazakhstan, for instance, according to a report from Bloomberg, has banned exports of wheat flour, of which it is one of the world's biggest sources, as well as restrictions on buckwheat and vegetables, including onions, carrots, and potatoes. Vietnam, the world's third biggest rice exporter, has temporarily suspended rice export contracts. Russia, the world's biggest wheat exporter, may also threaten to restrict exports. But coming closer to home, New Zealand's export and trade-related industries are also affected by COVID-19 as well. For example, despite it is now showing signs of recovery, the forestry industry was the first to feel the effects of the pandemic, as ports in China prevented the offloading of logs. So, how will COVID-19 affect other export-related industries in New Zealand and our trading policy? I discussed that with Trade Minister David Parker.
I recently read in The Guardian that Maximo Torero, the chief economist of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, told the paper that measures against COVID-19 around the world could cause a global food shortage because of lockdowns and protectionist policies like export bans. So before we dive into the effects of COVID-19, to what extent is our food supply imported?
There are a lot of countries that aren't in as fortunate position as New Zealand. We, of course, have a food surplus as a country. And one of our duties to the world is actually to keep those goods moving to countries that can't feed themselves. I read that same article that you referred to, and I thought that although they were warning against that, they were saying that food movements overall are still going pretty well internationally, although and some of the problems with trade are in respect of things like reagents for PCR tests to detect the coronavirus and personal protection equipment. So in New Zealand's case, I know that our outward bound goods by sea for, you know, dairy and meat products and the like are going well. Some of the more perishable products like fruit and vegetables, they're still going reasonably well, although because they have a shorter shelf life, there are more problems with those items.
And while we're on the subject of foods, I would like to talk about food export for New Zealand post-COVID-19. The finance minister told us we should be looking at the Great Depression as a marker for how bad things will get in the New Zealand economy. What do you think the food export sector look like for the future after the pandemic?
I think the food export sector will be the least adversely affected of virtually any sector in New Zealand. As we speak, you know, the levels of production on farm are roughly being maintained. You know, the trees are growing, the sheep are still eating grass, and the milk is being produced and exported. The mix of products at the moment has changed a little because hospitality industry, for example, in overseas countries, as in New Zealand, is largely closed down. Things like things that service the needs of the hospitality industry have decreased, but other product lines that are sold through supermarkets have increased. So there's a bit of a change in product mix. In terms of what will be the long-term effect on prices, we really don't know. That will unfold over time.
When you say you think our food export industry will come out less worse than expected after COVID-19, are you worried about the protectionist policies that other countries could impose on agricultural food products?
Yes. There's always been a double standard in the world, particularly amongst a lot of Western countries, where they advocate for reductions in tariffs in the manufactured goods that they sell to the rest of the world, and then put up tariff barriers and protectionist measures to keep out food products from other countries. So there is a risk that that will increase rather than diminish, and that wouldn't be in New Zealand's economic interests. I think that every country in the world, including New Zealand, will be wanting to have a look at what things we should be producing locally to protect ourselves in a situation like this. We're very fortunate in New Zealand that we have some capability in medical industries, which mean that we're not completely reliant on overseas supply lines for things like face masks for the protection of our people working in hospitals and the like. I think added to that list, we'll be having a look at whether some of the chemical reagents that are used in PCR tests some other personal protection equipment lines, whether we should have production lines of those in New Zealand or whether we should just maintain larger stocks of those things in country to guard against shortages in the face of an event like this.
So according to what you said, is the future for us going to be an internalised economy?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I, in respect of some limited items such as those that I listed, that could be, you could see for reasons of internal, security, and I don't mean physical security as so much as just secure supply lines. For some of those items, yes. But we're not going to be producing cars. You know, we're still going to be importing cars and selling food. But at the margins, I think everyone will be having a look in respect to their critical supply line areas in the health system as to whether they've got those vulnerabilities covered.
Putting on a more global spectrum, could we see a major change in global trades post COVID-19?
Well, I think there will be some changes. How significant they'll be, only time will tell. Of course, one of the realities is that countries can't just immediately stop what they're doing and do something different, because it takes a long time to tool up for different manufactured goods. And, you know, some countries, of course, have got climatic and land constraints that means that they'll never be able to produce all of the food that they want. So, there are various Middle Eastern countries that are always going to be reliant on importing their food, and that's just a physical reality for them, and happens to be a good thing for the New Zealand economy.
And let's move on to one aspect that I'm quite interested in, is New Zealand's trade with other countries. Now, recently, the government and a couple of other countries have put out an announcement that will continue to keep supply chains and trading lanes open. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, well, this started as an initiative between New Zealand and Singapore. I phoned up the Singapore Minister for Trade, and we were discussing these issues, and we thought that we needed to get ahead of some of the adverse things that could happen to trade by putting out a statement and getting a series of countries to agree to the proposition that we should keep trading to the extent that it's safe to do so during this crisis. And that led to a communique that started with New Zealand and Singapore, and other countries, including some large economies like Canada and Australia, have signed up to it. It has a couple of angles to it. So at the moment, some countries have got inbound tariffs on the goods that they're importing to meet the medical emergency, and that seems counterintuitive that you would be putting up the cost of those sorts of products to your citizens and your health systems at a time when their health systems and people are already struggling in the face of coronavirus. So one of the things we called for was an immediate reduction of those tariffs for the benefit of our peoples. The other thing was just keeping these trade flows going. And since then, we've continued to work with the likes of Singapore to make sure that our ports are open. You'll have seen some money set aside by the government, some $300 million to keep freight lines going, because we need both inward goods. We import some drug lines, for example, that we need to get into the country. And we also need to export some of our high-value exports, including some medical exports that New Zealand, supplies international manufacturers of some of their componentry that they need for their medical supplies.
And let's talk about free trade agreements that we are negotiating with some countries and organizations like the EU, India, and the Pacific Alliance. So before we go into the consequences or effects that COVID-19 has on these negotiations, can you just give us an overview of what the negotiations look like now?
Some months ago, announced conclusion of the upgrade to our free trade agreement with China. And that's now going through what we call a legal scrub, so that the terms of that agreement have been converted to legal text, which is then translated and back-translated, actually, to make sure that we don't end up with different versions on different sides of language differences. And that's proceeding. In respect of RCEP, I don't think that anything's changed in RCEP in the last few weeks. I don't think there is a lot happening on that front, but we're still expecting RCEP to conclude as an agreement, albeit without India. It's looking unlikely that India are going to join that agreement. That's a big agreement that includes the ASEAN countries, the likes of Japan, China, New Zealand and Australia. And then the EU negotiation, we've actually just this week had a virtual round. So people aren't meeting as negotiators. They're doing it via the internet. And that negotiation is proceeding. So some things are still running, but obviously it's also possible that anything could be disrupted.
Could the economic effects brought by the COVID-19 outbreak affect these negotiations or even the free trade agreements at the end?
Theoretically, it could. We're not seeing evidence of that yet, although the point that you earlier made, that there's a risk that there will be a return to higher levels of protectionism around the world, is a real risk.
And how is New Zealand prepared for high protectionism?
Well, we've always had to fight our corner because we've always faced high levels of protectionism in respect of a lot of our core products. So, we're pretty skilled at advocating for New Zealand's interests. And I'd also note that that not everyone will react the same way. And as I noted earlier, there are countries who have a food shortage who obviously want our products, and they don't want to put the cost up to their consumers of those products by imposing tariffs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.